Let's be here. Let's start this meeting with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word and your love towards us. We just pray that when we read your words and study your words, we will learn more about who Jesus is and learn about his love towards us. And at the end, that we will say thank you and worship him in our daily life. Give thanks to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, the message I'd like to share with you, if I like to put a title, it will be Jesus is the Truth. When we were born in this world, I find that I was lost. And when I read the Bible, the scripture says that we were like a lost sheep. Because the questions that we constantly ask, including myself, when I was young, and I see the same questions being asked for my daughters as well. The first question is, where did we came from? And the second question is, where are we going after this world? So two common questions that we would ask. We were exactly like a lost sheep to not know where are we going to. And in this, we're trying to seek and find what is the truth to these two questions. We may not, especially for those of you who are not born in a Christian family, you may not find the answer from the Bible. I remember that the first questions I asked my mom, where did I came from? I am from a very non-Christian family, and my mom was kind of shy and embarrassed to think about, you know, where you came from, you know, baby came from. So she said that, you know, I picked you up from the dumping site. I was very sad at that time. Sometimes when I have some disappointment, I remember that I want to, you know, leave the house and go and look for my own parents. I say, you know, you're not my real parents. I thought that. Then when I grow up further, the school and the textbook, there's some things about evolution that we came from. Then sometimes we make fun of it among our friends, like, wow, you mean that we are from monkey? So, you know, that was, you know, some of the world taught us where we came from. And I'm not satisfied with all those answers until a later stage of life, because I didn't expose to the Bible. Then I read from the scriptures. In the first book, Genesis, tells us this. I was touched when I read it. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? You know, that's the answer that we can find in the Bible. And same thing for the second question. Where are we going after death? Well, I started to think about this question when I was quite young. I remember that even until today, I was about my at least age, about 7 years old. One of my neighbor died, and they have a funeral. I was constantly looking at the sky for a very long time, because I want to see if there's something happen. Believe there's God, there's angel. Would there be something happen on the sky? I've been waiting, I've been probably like 30 minutes, I'm just looking at the sky. I don't want to miss that moment. And yeah, and that question's constantly in my mind for a very long time. But then when I go to work, or you know, that the two things in life that, you know, some are important, some are urgent. You know, these are very important questions. Where would you be going after death? But then the lives keep you busy, you pursue other dreams, and that become not so urgent. These are important questions. And when it's, you know, but it's still there. You know that this question was not answered. when you couldn't find the satisfying answer to these questions, I know that the religions may provide you this answer, because all religions tell you how you can go to heaven. There are a few answers to this. Well, some religions say reincarnations, but most of them say what? Doing good deeds. If you do something good, if you do good enough, you do something good to the community, to the society, to the world, then you could go to heaven. And then I came, because all this, what I hear, especially I raised up in Malaysia with all different kinds of religions, I almost come to a conclusion that, you know, all religions can help you to lead to heaven, just like all routes lead to Romans. So, but not until one day, when I was at a university, one of my friends, they have a Christian's kind of fellowship or a Christian club in the university. And he's one of my close friends. We studied in the same course. He preached the gospel to me. So, well, he invited me to join some of the activities of the group they have. I did initially. Until when he shared with me John 14:6. That's something that shocked me. And because what John 14:6 say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's contradicting for what I believe all these were. You know, all religions are good, can bring you to heaven. But I say this is a narrow way. I didn't know at the time in the Bible, well, exactly the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, says go to the narrow way. I still remember when I first came to 16, Harold was preaching. He preached about narrow way. He probably had forgotten, but I remember that. Because it was the words that, that lingering around in my mind for a long time, the narrow way. So then I was stopped going to that Christian fellowship for some time, until later on I realized that what the scriptures say is true. Because in the Proverbs 14, verse 12, can I point to that? Maybe you read from your Bible, it's probably more powerful. If you go to Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. And then I realized that, well, I thought it seems to be a right way to man. Many men think that is the broad way, but at the end, it's the way of death. That's how I realized that, you know, what I used to believe is not the truth. So we're going to read some scriptures from the Gospel of John. Let's turn your Bible to Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're going to start from 36. Gospel of John. Chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you have denied me three times. So Peter asks the questions. You know, he say, I like to follow you. And he would say, I want to lay down my life. And he probably at that time didn't know about the place that Jesus is going. He thought probably, you know, a place in Israel, but this place that he's referring to is not a physical place in Israel. And that leads us to the chapter 14. On the same theme, we're going to look at that. John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, one of the disciples, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Every time that I read this, I appreciate the questions that Thomas asked very much, because that questions give us the very powerful truth, a statement. But when I read these scriptures, just something that I just learned. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to worry. And that's comforting me. The questions we're asking, when would I be going after that? Let not be troubled. He said that in my Father's house are many mansions. I learned about the word mansions. Ironside say that the word mansions, a lot of people think that in probably the Western world, in US or Canada, think that is a big house. But the mansions here could be apartments, like all of us would have our own place, apartments. If you were in Japan, well, in Japan, if you say mansions, it actually means apartments, maybe a decent sized apartment. It's not a mansion like in the United States or Canada. So, and that's the meaning of mansions, that he's going to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. It seems like easy. I go to prepare a place for you. When I think about these simple words, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you know how much that he has to do for you and me to prepare a place for you and me? You know what's happened next? He's going to go to the cross. He's going to endure all those things, an innocent man, to be lifted up at the cross to prepare for you. I thought about my daughter who recently had just throw her birthday party. A surprise one. She didn't know behind all the words. We need to cook, I need to prepare, order the cake, I need to decorate the room, all the balloons, everything's ready. Well, then I turn on the light, surprise! And then she's very happy. But she didn't know there were all behind that. There was also, I remember an incident that my older brother went to university. So we need to apply for a loan, and we need a guarantor for his studies. I follow my father to someone who is maybe like a governor in my city. We've been waiting outside. It was a pouring rain, heavy rain. We waited for the governor to come back. And we didn't have umbrella. We were raining, pouring rain, wet and wet. And to wait for him to sign that document. And I remember that man saying, wrote a letter to my brother. You didn't know what your father has gone through, all this, to get a signature for me. It's the same thing when I read this word, I go to prepare a place for you. Wow. Simple word, simple sentence. We're reading too fast. But we didn't know that so many sacrifices that the Lord Jesus Christ had to pay for you and me so that we can enjoy this place, that He'll prepare a place for you. And not only that, what do you say in the next verse? I will come again and receive you to myself. What an amazing love is this? I will personally come again and receive you to myself. He's not, he could send, an angel, send someone to do it, but he personally will come again. That's the love, amazing love, that is beyond what we could imagine. And that's why we call mercy. We do not deserve all that. Yeah, he loved us so much. And so it's, where I am, there you may be also. He wants to be with us. We are so precious, and I'm so precious that you would have to come. And we know there's a promise, there's a hope. You can read further in, first Thessalonians, that chapter 4, maybe you can turn to that and see that he says he's going to come back again. That's the promise that we have, the hope that we have in Christ. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This is the comfort of Christ coming. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. This asleep means that those who trust in Christ have died. But for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. But the Lord Himself, again, I like the words, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That is the comfort, encouragement, and hope, a hope that is not seen. That's what we hope for. Therefore, and this is the word that Paul, Apostle Paul, said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. A body is getting weaker. I certainly feel that too. I have aching here and there, my shoulder. But there is a hope that we have in Christ. It's going to come back. One day we're going to be with Him. And it says we're going to comfort one another with these words that is written here. So let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to continue to read the verse. And we read about Thomas saying, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. Exclusive. There's only one way. I am the way. Well, we know that the way here referring to the salvation, the only way is through Jesus Christ. It's not, what I thought, it may be the law. If you follow the law, the Ten Commandments, if you do the good deeds, then you could. Or some even people think that if you have a church membership, you always come to church, you have the church members, then you go to heaven. No. It's all in by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Peter says this in Acts chapter 4, 12. No, it's the salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. And that's the only way, the truth. Jesus is the embodiment of the truth, the only one truth. The problem that we have in the world right now, there's no truth, and we questions the truth. And that's what, I experienced when like growing up. We have the evolution, we have other confusion in the world, including, these days in Canada, they're questioning about the truth of gender. I received an email ask me to define what is my gender for my organization. And it's happened in a lot of places these days. And I ask myself, what is the truth? I thought, God say quite clearly, do I need to define my gender? Do you define the truth by yourself? Who should be defining the truth? God. Why? What happened to this world? It's going toward that direction. That's the truth is no longer truth in this world. And that's what grieved my heart. And also, as a parent, we have a lot of responsibility to train our children and our younger generation with the scriptures, with the word of God. And that is the truth in it and the life. He is the source of the spiritual eternal life. Without Christ in your life, there's no life. There's no eternal life. Because it says quite clearly in the verse 3:16, because if you do not believe, if not believe in Jesus Christ, you won't have eternal life. You will be perished. Now, and I ask myself, why? Why would we know that the scripture says so clearly that He is the truth? Why yet people still do not want to accept this truth? And a few scriptures when I read, I found that one is I look at the Pharisees. Why were they so against? My conclusion is because they want to live my way, my truth, and my life, the kind of life that I want. It's not just the Pharisees, but even the people in this world right now, a lot of it today. They want to say, my life, my way, and my truth. The truth that they define, just like the gender I define, who am I? And let's turn to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 21. This is also a scripture that talk about Jesus Christ's departure, which is kind of related to the John 14 that we just read. But this time, he's saying to a different audience. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away. You will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Well, he was talking to a lot of the Pharisees at this time. And he said, you cannot come. You will die in your sin. So the Jews say, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Think about the heart of those who say this. Very wicked. And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they say to him, who are you? That's a very good question. And I would urge you to ask these questions. If you do not know Jesus Christ, who are you? And in this continuity, and Jesus said to them, just what I have been sent to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you live out the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing in myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do these things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believe in him. When you ask the questions, who are you? The scriptures will give you, when you read it and read, you'll find the truth. When you listen to his words, and you see, we see that many believe in his word, we believe in him. And verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him. You see that he speaks to those who believe in him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. His word is recorded here. If you abide, we will be his disciple, and you shall know the truth, because these books contain the truth. And the good news is, the truth shall make you free. Free from the bondage of sin, and to follow him and call him as your Lord. And that's the good news. But sadly, not all the Pharisees believe. Many, but not all the Jews believe him. We're going to see another account and to see why they do not choose to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. This truth. Let's go to John, Gospel of John. 11, just turn a few pages, chapter 11, you'll look at 45, Gospel of John 45. Then many of the Jews will come to Mary. What happened before that was, Lazarus raised from the dead. That was a miracle. And many people have seen the things Jesus did and believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And the chief priests, 47, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what should we do? For this man works many signs. If you let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Do you see that? What happened to these Pharisees here? I want my way. I want my life. I want no truth from God, because they don't want to be trapped. And that's more important than the truth. To them, is they don't want their position to be trapped. And what do they say? Well, they say they're going to take away our place, our nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. It's amazing to see the prophecy about what the Lord Jesus Christ say from the high priest. Now, do you consider that is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation should perish? Is it like the John 3:16? It's like a gospel to me when I read this. Now, This he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Wow. We were the children that scattered abroad. We bring near to him because of one man, the truth, Jesus Christ. He is the truth. So that's the first that reason why they didn't accept. The second one, let me turn to that briefly. You can turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, just turn a few pages in the Bible. And the second reason why they didn't want to accept the truth is the fear of men rather than fear of God. And that's what happened in Pilate. And sometimes, I remember I preached gospel to my Japanese good friends. He came to the chapel once. He says that, wow, you know, our Japanese tradition is we're going to go to the shrine and the temple. You know, I cannot forsake that. That is our Japanese way of life. It's the fearing the peer pressure, maybe the community. I like the song. I decided to follow Jesus. Don't no one join me, still I will follow. Don't no one join me, still I will follow. You don't have to be afraid of the people around you. Just follow the truth. Let's read about what happened to Pilate. In verse 33, 1833, then Pilate entered the Praetorian again. It's actually the headquarters of the administration. And again called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were on this world, my servant would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is the truth hears my voice. And Pilate asked a very good question, say to him, what is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Well, you know what happened to the story later on, including Pilate's wife had a bad dream, a nightmare, that knowing that Jesus is innocent. And at the end, the Jews decided, they want to release one man, and they decided to choose Barabbas. I think Pilate's heart probably would like to release Jesus. But because of the people, the Jews, the people, the fear of the man, he decided to follow a grant according to their will. That's the second reason we see what happened, not just in the Bible, in today's world as well. Fear of the man rather than God. What is the truth? And who is he? Two questions I'm going to ask you to ponder. May you find the truth and choose to follow him. We're going to close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the word. And we say that those who abide in you, abide in the word, will find the truth. The truth will set us free. You are the way. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth and the life. And we know that's truth. And we pray that, Heavenly Father, that you have many of us here, our friends, our family, our neighbors, to know the truth and to accept our Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We give thanks that you prepare a place for us. Your love is so amazing. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will have a thanksgiving heart and will follow you the rest of your life. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.